Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM teleconference, IBM WebSphere Message Broker v6, delivering new value on ZOS. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question-and-answer session. In this teleconference, you will learn how to leverage the universal transformation and mediation capabilities in Message Broker v6 to reduce costs and improve performance in your ZOS-based infrastructure. You will also learn how to take advantage of the dramatic improvements in Message Broker v6 and apply those improvements to your mission-critical application integration needs. The teleconference will be hosted by Leif Davidson, IBM Worldwide Product Marketing Manager, Application Integration WebSphere Software. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Davidson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for that introduction. Today's webcast, I'll be focusing on IBM's newest release of the Message Broker product, WebSphere Message Broker version 6, and we'll be specifically looking at the ZOS release and the new benefits that you will achieve through the implementation of WebSphere Message Broker version 6 on the ZOS platform. Page 1 of the presentation shows you the agenda. We will first be covering an overview of why message brokering is important to your business, from an integration point of view and from the benefits that it will give you in exchanging and connecting systems across and beyond your enterprise. We will then look in more depth at the new release of Message Broker version 6, which is an advanced enterprise service bus, and it provides many new features, some of which we will touch on throughout the presentation. And then as the core part of the presentation, we will have a look at how the new version of WebSphere Message Broker version 6 on ZOS exploits some of the core ZOS capabilities, allowing you to leverage better your ZOS investment and the assets that you have running your business. If we can now go to slide number 2, we will cover briefly the whole segment of application integration. Application integration has come to mean a number of different aspects of connecting and exchanging data between applications throughout your enterprise and beyond it. The drivers behind application integration are to try and make your business more flexible and responsive, reducing the costs of doing business and improving customer satisfaction and business effectiveness. This is achieved both through business transformation and through reducing the complexity of linking applications together, no matter where they're running in your business and what data that they work on. There are a number of different approaches which vary in complexity and in ability to make real differences to your business. One approach is the more simple approach of application connectivity. This can be achieved through the use of the messaging software WebSphere MQ, which allows you to reliably and seamlessly exchange data between multiple applications and multiple systems, allowing you to manage and track this data and be assured that it will always get there once and once only. This is fine if the data is the same format, no matter what application is running on what system. However, in many cases, the data formats and the transport protocols used can be different both within the enterprise or in business partner systems with whom you wish to exchange data. In these cases, an approach such as application and partner mediation can offer real business benefits, and this would be implemented through the product we'll be talking about, WebSphere Message Broker, and also to provide partner integration, the WebSphere Partner Gateway product. However, a slightly more advanced approach to integration is that of building an enterprise-wide backbone, commonly called an enterprise service bus. This takes the application partner mediation approach of integrating many different systems and applications and exchanging multiple sorts of data and allows you to treat the application endpoints as services, allowing a much more flexible integration approach and a wider use of application functionality, allowing that functionality to be called and reused as services rather than as monolithic applications. This enterprise service bus approach is rapidly gaining popularity as a common way of integrating both older applications running multiple legacy and proprietary formats, as well as newer standards-based approaches such as web services. IBM has two forms of software to deal with this approach. One is WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, WebSphere ESB, and another more advanced approach, an advanced ESB, is the WebSphere Message Broker product we will continue to cover in this presentation. If we now go to slide number 3, we will deal first of all with an overview of WebSphere Message Broker and indeed the overview of messaging in general. WebSphere MQ, the leader in the messaging environment, message-oriented middleware as it's called, provides a reliable and simple means to exchange messages or chunks of data between applications. These applications can be on the same system, on different systems, or multiple applications on multiple different systems. This could be a one-way communication, or it could be a request-response communication, which would be two-way. And as I covered on a previous slide, this communication would be the exchange of data from one application to another. But an important point to note is this data is unchanged by the communication. In fact, that is one of the core benefits of WebSphere MQ, is the reliable, assured delivery of data unchanged and therefore secure between one application and another. However, in many businesses, the information that you wish to exchange between applications is quite often in different formats. One application handling data in one format and the other receiving application would prefer to receive it in another format. Maybe this is in a different department, or maybe the application is designed for a different purpose, or was part of an IT infrastructure acquired through a company acquisition. In these cases, quite often businesses have written complex custom code or have provided application-specific adapters to edit and transform the data before it is read by an application or sent by another application. This gets tremendously complex and tremendously expensive to maintain as the number of links and number of applications grows. In fact, the complexity grows exponentially, even with the addition of a few additional applications and links. WebSphere Message Broker is specifically designed to sit between your applications, either in a hub-and-spoke model or as an extended bus-type approach, and it will use business rules as defined by your business to reformat and enrich data as it routes in flight between one application to another application. It not only can do this over one protocol, but it can exchange the data across multiple different protocols. Jumping to page 4, we have a nice summary slide of what is WebSphere Message Broker. Message Broker is much more than just an extension to WebSphere MQ. It provides a framework for processing, certainly WebSphere MQ messages, but also multiple different messages coming from multiple different data sources. We'll talk about some of those later in the webcast. It is a very robust and easily configurable environment, allowing you as a business to transform data as it flows throughout your environment, to enrich that data as it flows throughout the systems, allowing you to extend the data capabilities. One example of this would be to add data into a record format where originally you just perhaps have a customer record number, and Message Broker would allow you to extract from databases or other sources of data and add in the customer name and purchase history before sending it on to a receiving application. This can add real business benefits, obviously. Clearly, that would involve WebSphere Message Broker interacting directly with databases as part of that transactional unit of work, and being able to route the messages based on what the contents of the data that you are currently flowing throughout the broker. Further to these more simple transactions are the ability to do complex combinational-based logic and extending the integration layers within your environment to include more recent additions of web services potentially that you are deploying in parts of your business today. As I mentioned, WebSphere MQ is one potential source of these messages, but you can also extend and deploy these messages on multiple protocols and therefore build a complete end-to-end business integration platform, allowing you to manage all integration needs with scalability, reliability, security, and tracking those through an efficient, manageable set of data and responses. On slide 5, we look at some of the core design points of WebSphere Message Broker, specifically version 6. There are a number of messaging and distribution styles that you as a business might wish to approach. One would be one-way broadcasting of messages. Another one would be one application requesting a response from another application. A more interesting, perhaps, style of communication would be aggregation, where you are looking to request a query from multiple systems and not send a response back to the original system until you've actually aggregated a number of different responses from the number of different systems that you've inquired against. And then a style of communication that more and more businesses are starting to exploit that's native within WebSphere Message Broker and enhanced by some of the capabilities, which is the publish-subscribe protocol, whereby an application will publish data not to a specific receiving application, but rather publish based on the content and the topic that the information is being distributed on. And then any application can dynamically subscribe to that data as it's distributed through the system, allowing you a very flexible approach of information distribution across and beyond the enterprise. This distribution can be, as I've already mentioned, on many different protocols. WebSphere MQ, there are obviously 12,000 customers of WebSphere MQ today who rely on WebSphere MQ to provide a reliable messaging layer, but they are likely to use that in concert with HTTP or generic JMS messaging, real-time messaging protocols and multicast, or the use of data just moved from one filing system to another filing system. WebSphere Message Broker supports all of these with the added ability to add in any user-defined mechanism and just simply plug that in to become another standardized protocol supported within Message Broker. Message formats we've already touched on is a core reason why customers will use WebSphere Message Broker. The ability to handle any form of message format and to transform that message from one format to another, whether that be record-based message formats based on traditional applications, whether it be industry message formats and files, or whether it uses XML and other standards-based formatting, then Message Broker can deal with all of those. And it does it through a combination of different transformation approaches and languages. These can be chosen based on either the skills of the personnel involved or based on the data formats being used. The selection includes extended SQL, eSQL as we call it, the choice to use Java as your transformation language. There is, in version 6, a new drag-and-drop mapping tool, very similar to using a spreadsheet to define formats. Of course, there is also support for standardized transformation tools like XSLT, and additionally, the support for any other custom formats that you wish to transform using your own code. Therefore, providing the goal of WebSphere Message Broker to provide near-universal connectivity and transformation to businesses. As we move on to the next slide, we summarize the capabilities of WebSphere Message Broker version 6. We truly believe that as businesses move to become a service-oriented architecture, providing greater reuse, greater responsiveness, and improved customer satisfaction, WebSphere Message Broker can power your SOA as an advanced enterprise service bus, providing universal connectivity over many different sorts of transports and protocols, allowing you to build service-oriented integration crossing your business no matter what the transport for your data you require or the platforms that you're looking to integrate, bearing in mind that WebSphere MQ supports more than 80 different platform configurations. No matter what the data that you're moving throughout your business, whether you're using any industry standard data formats, Swift, HIPAA, EDI, etc., or whether you're using technically based standards such as XML or web services and SOAP, then you can understand and define transformation for any of that data that's flowing throughout your business. All of this in concert with the new enhanced development productivity that we've included as a standard part of WebSphere Message Broker version 6 really does provide much higher return on investment and allows you to extend that to provide additional business effectiveness throughout your enterprise. Specifically for ZOS customers who are used to traditional transaction processing environments such as IMS and CICS, then WebSphere Message Broker is the only tool that will offer the scalability and performance to match these products which run as the heart of your business, and is the only product that will allow you to extend and integrate these transaction processing environments to connect and integrate with the rest of your enterprise. If we move to the next slide and look at platform coverage, we can see where you can now configure and deploy WebSphere Message Broker with the new version 6 release. There are a number of different components that make up the Message Broker product. There is the runtime broker itself. There is the configuration manager, which stores all the configurations for both build time and the runtime components. And there is the configuration toolkit, where you define and make changes to configuration. The toolkit itself is a graphical environment built on the Eclipse open tooling platform and developed using the Rational software development platform. And that runs both on the Windows environment and on Linux running on Intel or Intel-compatible platforms. However, the runtime brokers themselves, as well as the configuration manager and the username server, which is the other runtime component, run on multiple platforms, including the Windows platforms, Linux platforms on more than just the Intel platforms, Unix platforms, and, crucially, they run natively on the ZOS platform. This is tremendously important, clearly, for businesses where a large portion of their business data and their business processing runs on the ZOS platform. And there are specific enhancements, as we'll cover in this webcast, that have extended and further provided additional value to running Message Broker on the ZOS platform. To start with, on page 8 of the slides, we'll have a look at some of the new deployment and administration features. In WebSphere Message Broker version 6, for the first time, you can now deploy your complete runtime environment on the ZOS platform, including the execution groups, or running the broker, the configuration manager, and the username server. Now all can run on the ZOS platform. There are further command line tools to start and stop your message flows, and these run as standard JCL components on MVS platform. It is further enhanced on some of the other platforms by Java administration APIs to allow specific administration facilities to be targeted at the specific deployed implementations, whether they be on ZOS or on any of the other platforms. As I've mentioned, there are additional and now full JCL customization for ZOS, allowing you to install, configure, deploy, and run that from your JCL environment on your MVS console. Another key feature of the version 6 platform is the ability to restart the database where you're running the configuration without restarting the running broker. This obviously enhances your availability and your uptime. If we go to page 9, let's talk briefly about the message processing nodes. Now, the nodes are a key feature for WebSphere Message Broker on all platforms. The nodes are what you wire together within the graphical environment to define your message flow, which is how you define what activities are going to be run as a message flows from one application and one system to the destination application or applications. IBM provides, with WebSphere Message Broker, a number of these message processing nodes to allow you to both send and receive messages, access databases, and perform tasks on the messages both within the message broker environment and outside it. With each release, IBM extends the number of message broker nodes, as well as enhancing those nodes that it supplies. And the version 6 release is no exception. In this release, we've added in a new Java compute node, which extends the existing compute node capability, but configures it for Java programmers, allowing Java programmers to define the transformations that they wish to implement on the message formats as they flow through the system. There is the ability to implement timer control so that you can define when particular tasks are run, when messages can be received into the system and sent out to the system. The ability to go out and get messages from MQQs as part of the flows adds in tremendous amount of flexibility to you as a business trying to implement the most flexible way of moving data around your environment. And now, as businesses look to implement multiple different JMS environments, take advantage of the new standardized APIs for programming messaging, WebSphere Message Broker can send and receive through any JMS provider with our JMS input and output nodes, which is a real market-leading capability. As I've already mentioned, we do enhance existing capabilities, and we've done that with further web services support with our web services node. We've enhanced the aggregation capability in this release. We've also enhanced our standardized XSLT mapping capability and the publication node as part of the publish subscribe support. We've now added support for multicast, pragmatic, generalized multicast. In addition to these standard nodes, WebSphere Message Broker, as it is, provides an open interface for additional content, can be extended through plugging in additional nodes. And WebSphere Message Broker now has the ability to plug in DataStage TX capabilities that from the Essential company that IBM bought recently. This allows further structured and unstructured data support to be processed within Message Broker, as well as the file nodes, which have also been added to allow data held in files on the filing system to be directly extracted by Message Broker and efficiently processed within the environment. All of this goes to provide the summary that we have on slide 10, looking at how a standard enterprise service bus product typically available in the market, which focuses on purely handling and transforming XML from one form of an XML data structure to another, how this is clearly a minor subset of the WebSphere Message Broker functionality, and why we refer to WebSphere Message Broker as an advanced enterprise service bus, as it offers a full XML to XML transformation capability, as well as the ability to transform virtually any format to any other format, including key DOS formats that you might find in CICS, COBOL copybooks, BSAM, IMS, etc. On slide 11, we have a slightly deeper look at the use of Java as one of our now core transformation options. And why is this particularly important to ZOS customers? Well, the Java Compute Node is one of the options that customers now have when they're designing their message flows, which is similar to the previous eSQL and still available Compute Node that has been a part of the product since its first release. The Java node, however, allows a ZOS customer to offload their processing onto the ZAP processors. Now, we'll have a closer look at that later in the webcast, but what this means is you can save some of your computing power from the ZOS platform because this is running purely in a Java environment. It can create a much more cost-effective and efficient way of traversing the data structures that you're trying to create, build, and transform throughout your environment. The Java support allows you not only to do processing on data structures that you are moving throughout the environment, but also allows you to access the databases using JDBC drivers using Java rather than using standard database controls. A further extension usable with Java functionality is also described on page 12 of the presentation. How the calling of external functions and procedure calls that have been always capable as part of the eSQL features now allows you to call out an external Java function. Again, this allows you to ship some of the processing to a ZAP processor, and again will improve the efficiency of running Message Broker on your ZOS platform. Slide 13 has a look at the new standards supported as part of the new release. Now, it is clearly important as a business to not only be able to integrate your existing technology that may have been running for a few weeks or a number of years, as well as being able to integrate those environments, it's important to be able to integrate in any new applications, services, or other systems that you develop going forward. As businesses now look to roll out web services, rapid structures, and applications, we have rolled in further support into WebSphere Message Broker for the latest web services standards, allowing you to import existing WSDL definitions, support for modeling, SOAP messages, and support for multiple SOAP and HTTP standards. We also have provided built-in compliance checking for the WSI standard to allow you to start assuring yourself that you are actually complying with some of these latest standards. So what we've therefore got is an integration environment which allows you to integrate with your existing platforms, your existing applications and systems, as well as extending that integration out to include some of the latest web services standards. So, if you are thinking of deploying this platform onto your ZOS environment, or potentially you already have deployed a previous version of WebSphere Message Broker onto your ZOS capability, what are specific new features and functions available with version 6 that provide additional ZOS exploitation? Well, on slide 14, we start talking about those. One of the key features is to provide extended support for high availability. And there's a number of capabilities that add to that. One is support for the parallel sysbus. Resource managers such as WebSphere MQ and DB2 are parallel sysbus aware, which allows the availability of shared resources across a sysbus, ensuring that resources are simultaneously available to all applications within the sysbus. As long as there's one ZOS image, then those resources are available for use. Now, by deploying a message flow to brokers which run within a WebSphere MQ, queue sharing group, then the processing can take place anywhere in the Sysplex. This means that, obviously, recovery after failure is much better, as well as preserving potentially message order, which can help your business deal with the consequences of failure in the middle of a number of transactions. This isn't exclusive just to taking advantage of WebSphere MQ use of the parallel Sysplex. It can also provide advantages when used with the DB2 data sharing groups, taking advantage of parallel Sysplexes. Further support is provided by the Automatic Restart Manager, which allows for the restarting of a broker after a failure to be dependent on the policy defined by the ZOS systems programmer. This obviously will improve the availability and recoverability after a failure of the WebSphere message broker on the ZOS platform. For customers who are not using the parallel Sysplex, however, the support of WebSphere MQ clusters allows an excellent way to exploit high availability in the case of failure when parallel Sysplex is not being used. Brokers here would have a partitioned copy of the input queue, and clustering would mean that in the event of failure, new messages are only sent to queues which are available and not those queues which have been identified as failing. It's not really any good if you have all of this available without being able to manage the workload as it is shared and implemented across your environment. And when you do start up a message broker within the execution group, which is the address space where it runs, then it can be assigned to different workload management service classes, which can be assigned with different goals, such as potentially response time, dependent on the typical workload which is likely to run within that environment. Now, this workload can be scaled across pretty much your entire environment. Now, Message Broker, on all of its platforms, is able to scale horizontally using processors, using both single and multiple execution groups for running broker implementation. But with the Sysplex, you can deploy multiple brokers, multiple execution groups, and dynamically share those across the Sysplex, assigning instances of the message flow very dynamically as needs are identified. Some of these workloads that you may be running may be much heavier use than others, and you can isolate those heavier workloads from potentially multiple other workloads which may be lighter. And that gives you a clear advantage in balancing workloads across your system. And obviously in the ZOS environment, it's very important to be able to isolate the accounting associated with the workloads on the systems. And WebSphere Message Broker supports the use of SMF for recording those performance and accounting informations, allowing operational staff to control the gathering of that data and also to correlate those statistics along with the associated products that you might find, such as WebSphere MQ and DB2. Further information about ZOS and indeed WebSphere Message Broker cost of ownership on ZOS is found on page 15 of the webcast. Here we'll talk about initially the ZAP processor that I mentioned earlier, the Z-Series Application Assist Processor, which allows you to offload some of your processing so that you can move it off your core processors if it's running within a Java virtual machine. Anything that runs within the ZAP facility is not included in your MSU capacity, which means that you can increase your utilization without increasing your costs of software in terms of the MSU costs associated with running these pieces of software. Now, there's a number of different features of Message Broker on ZOS that can be used, such as the Java Compute Node, the XSLT Node, and the JMS Real-Time and Multicast Node. In addition to the benefits that you get in performance by offloading some of those core pieces of work onto additional processors, across the board, on all platforms of WebSphere Message Broker, there is up to 50% performance improvement just from improved capabilities within the product itself. There's been special focus on the parser, eSQL handling, locking and scalability associated with handling messages. There's been a tremendous improvement in aggregation performance, as well as, clearly, we've already touched on the ZOS exploitation. And a number of these new features have provided much greater flexibility, things like the MQGET node and XML compact parsing have provided a much more flexible and efficient way for you to code your message flows, providing even more effective and highly performant processing. The costs associated with running Message Broker on ZOS are much cheaper than previously, and in fact are differentially cheaper than running on the distributed environment. On page 16, we have a look at some of the operational characteristics of both the Message Broker on ZOS. As you'd expect, it is installed over SMPE, as other ZOS platform products are. And fixes are delivered as PTFs, which are always cumulative, to aid in the ability to put on different levels of support. As mentioned earlier, JCL-based configuration administration is used for ease of exploitation of the MVS environment. The command and console support for the administration allows for broker commands in JCL and obviously using the MVS console. And the output of commands are written to the JS spool with the MVS console making use of the MVS log. Problem determination is typical for the ZOS platform. And in a big enhancement from previous releases, there is upgrade support now from both the version 2.1 release and the version 5 release, allowing for coexistence of version 6 alongside either of those releases as you move across from one version to the other. Security support comes from SAF, and there is also support to use the resource recovery services, allowing you to coordinate transactions with other compliant RRS systems such as MQ, BB2, CICS, and vSAN. This extends the transactional unit of work and allows you to be very secure in the integrity of your data as it moves from one application and system to another. We've mentioned earlier in the webcast about the message processing nodes that make up a core feature of WebSphere Message Broker. And on ZOS, there are some specific nodes that are unique to the ZOS implementation to allow the ZOS users to make most out of their environment. There are 5 vSAM nodes allowing users processing record-oriented vSAM files to include those processing within the other integration functions and capabilities that they are implementing. For users of sequential files, there are QSAM nodes doing similar things to the vSAM nodes. And whereas we have in previous releases been able to integrate KIX program calls within the message flow, there is now a dedicated CICS node allowing you to drive synchronously a CICS program, simplifying the design of the flows that involve CICS calls and improving the performance of those flows by up to 300%. You can commit these transactions with CICS either immediately on the call or using that integration with the resource recoverability services or resource recovery services. Coming to the end of the webcast now, I'll just summarize on slide 18 the other miscellaneous enhancements. As I already mentioned, there is now, in this release, support for real-time and fast distribution of messages. PGM there standing for Pragmatic General Multicast, which provides you reliable multicast transport protocols, delivering data over either IP or UDP encapsulated. As we've mentioned, there's additional support for ZOS capabilities. There is now support for Unicode as part of the database support. And there is additional performance work and extended support on the publish-subscribe capability. Overall, as mentioned, across all platforms, there has been a great number of performance improvements based on rewritten and improved key features as well as core runtime changes to improve the dynamic throughput and performance of the product. There are a number of different places where you can find more information about Message Broker and Message Broker on Z in particular, and I've shown the URLs on slide 19 of the webcast. At this point, I'd like to thank you, and now I'd like to hand it back to the moderator.
Thank you, Lee. Now at this time, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. We will pause after each question to allow everyone a chance to respond. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. Not technical enough? Press star 2. More technical than I needed to hear? Press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 3. If you are using WebSphere Message Broker for ZOS version 5 or WMB for ZV2.1, when do you anticipate you will migrate to version 6? If it is 3 months, press star 1. If it is 6 months, press star 2. If it is 12 months, press star 3. If you're not yet using WMB for ZOS version 5 or WMB for ZOS V2.1, press star 4. Question 4. When considering migration to version 6 of WMB for ZOS, which one of the following areas is of greatest interest to you? If improved general performance, press star 1. If better exploitation of native ZOS capabilities, press star 2. If improved cost of ownership, press star 3. If better transformation capability, press star 4. If wider support for standards, press star 5. Question 5. Which vendor's integration suite are you currently using today? If IBM, press star 1. If BEA, press star 2. If TIBCO, press star 3. If other, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 6. We hope you have enjoyed the webcast today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If migrating to V6 from WMB V2.1, press star 1. If migrating to V6 from WMB V5, press star 2. If interested in participating in the SOA workshop to learn about using WMB as an advanced ESB, press star 3. If learning more about IBM WebSphere Message Broker software, press star 4. And our final question today, are you interested in receiving additional information? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone editing time. At this time, I'll turn things back over to Leif while we wait for questions. Mr. Davidson, I'll turn things back to you.
Thank you. I hope everyone has enjoyed the webcast so far. if you do have any questions about the content of the webcast or anything that you feel I may not have covered, please feel free to ask a question.
And once again, it is star one, please, if you do have a question today. And we'll hear first from William Ware.
So, do I understand it that you can have multiple brokers sharing workload in a cluster environment or DB2Q sharing?
Yeah, well, what you can have is the clustering environment is such that you can have a use the clustering of either DB2 or MQ to drive the work through multiple brokers. So you can either take advantage of multiple instances of the broker, or you can take advantage of multiple instances of the MQ resources or DB2 resources that are clustered. So depending on which way you believe you're going to be constrained on workload or throughput, you can take advantage of the clusterings of any of these capabilities.
But the brokers themselves are not?
The brokers themselves do not have clustering capabilities like MQ does or DB2 does.
All right.
And once again, it is star one, please. And Mr. Davidson, it appears there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, if anybody has any other questions, please feel free to contact your local IBM representative or come and see us at one of the WebSphere Live events that we're having in multiple cities around the world.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference, everyone. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.